Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Radio.com.
Radio.com.
Oh, it is.
It is.
The 7 o'clock hour of the Alex Donoff Show with you till 10 o'clock here on this Monday. 560 WQAM. Streaming on the radio.com app, my friends. If you'd like to get in, share your infinite wisdom with us via the phone lines. We'll go to the phones here in a couple minutes. 305-567-0560. 954-567-0560. Or get at us on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line at 560-22. But please don't text and drive. 720. Talk more Dolphins with Hal Habib from the Palm Beach Post. We will talk a little World Cup as well with Hal. He was very much into it. He was backing England throughout the Cup. I was backing the Croats, who nearly got it done for me, fell short in the final. But it was a very fun World Cup. So we'll talk Dolphins with training camp 10 days away, little World Cup as well with Hal. Came across something interesting over the weekend. So with LeBron James, right, we get the sense that LeBron going to L.A. over going to a place like, say, Houston, or a place like, say, Philadelphia, or even Golden State, for that matter, if he could work that out, the finances of it. Going to L.A. versus going to one of those teams that are more ready to win this coming season and the season after, don't you get the sense that LeBron's moved to L.A.? And I don't think there's anything wrong with this, right? Has as much to do with what comes after his basketball career, maybe more to do with that than the basketball career itself, right? He's going to be in Space Jam 2. He and a script writer, Steve Mallory, just sold an untitled comedy film to Paramount, so he's going to continue his movie roles. Yet Rich Paul, the agent of LeBron, who I guess just thinks we're all stupid, Rich Paul came out and said, no, it's absolutely a basketball decision. Quote, people say, well, it's about movies. It's about this. It's LeBron James. He's already a global entity. So it wasn't necessarily about that, he said. Okay. So if going to the Lakers was a basketball decision, how come LeBron James is having dinner with Al Pacino and Leonardo DiCaprio before he's met with any of his coaches or teammates? Right? Doesn't that make it pretty clear what the priority is? When he's selling scripts to Paramount, and he's having a power dinner in Hollywood with DiCaprio and Pacino. And again, nothing wrong with that. I would love to have dinner with Al Pacino and Leo DiCaprio. Not so much LeBron, but with Al Pacino or DiCaprio. I would kill to go to a dinner like that. Selling movies, yet he's never spoken to Luke Walton. I don't even think he'd met any of his teammates until a couple days later. He was at Vegas Summer League yesterday. You see LeBron roll into Summer League wearing $500 Laker shorts? That was something, man. He's already cashing those Paramount checks.
I'm starting to suspect he really doesn't care about being a Laker.
I mean, I'm sure he does, but I think it's pretty clear that at 33 years old, that he's planting his seed in the entertainment industry, right? And that had probably even more to do with his decision to go to L.A. than basketball did, right? I mean, can the Lakers become a contender within the next couple of years? Yeah, I guess. It's really a 2 or 3 year project, though, right? If it was really about basketball, that's not the team that he would have joined this summer. And there's nothing wrong with that, man. Not everybody has to go to a super team. You don't have to do what you did in 2010, joining the Big Three in Miami. You don't have to do what you did in 2014 to go play with Kyrie and Kevin Love. If you want to go to a team that's farther away from winning a title, because you also happen to be in the epicenter of the entertainment industry, God bless you. Do what you got to do, LeBron. I just think it's great when his agent, who I'm sure is getting a cut of all these movie deals, comes out and says, no, it's a basketball decision. Really? It's a basketball decision. When he's meeting with DiCaprio and Pacino before he meets with any of his teammates or his head coach. Yeah, basketball decision, LeBron.
Maybe they're coming to look to play the one there.
Yeah, wouldn't you love to see Pacino at point? DiCaprio's been in at least one basketball movie. Basketball Diaries? Maybe two. I think he's been in two basketball movies, DiCaprio. He could run the point.
Oh, for sure. I could see him doing it. I could see De Niro being an off-the-bench shooter. Oh, for sure, right. Off-the-bench shooter.
I mean, he could do what Mike Miller did, right? Like, he could just be that off-the-bench sharpshooter. He could be Ray Allen, Pacino. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Don in Miami. What's up, Don?
Hey, how are you?
Good. How about you?
I'm peachy. Just peachy.
Great.
Talking about the Kings, you know, you talked about, well, they're going to have 10 wins, maybe compete for the Coastal again. And
don't short me there, Don. I said 11 wins. I think they win the bowl game this year.
All right. Well, let me tell you.
All right.
Oh, you're right about the bowl game, 11. What is not changing on that team bothers me more than anything.
Okay.
And that's the quarterback. I'm actually hoping that one of these new guys can beat him out.
You're not the only one, man. I got to tell you, when I talked about wanting to see Rozier be better for longer, as in actually finish the season strong, I got at least a half dozen texts of people saying, well, no, I want Nkosi Perry to start. You're not the only one, Don. I don't see it happening. I don't. But I guess fall camp, things can change. Go ahead.
With him in there, I don't see any change. Is it getting better?
I mean, you don't think that he can blossom a bit from a junior year to a senior year? I don't think it's that. I mean, he's clearly got accuracy issues, right? I think that's the biggest problem for him. He's a gamer. He can make big throws in big times. He can run for first downs. But if you're completing 50% of your passes, you've got to do better. That's the big area he's got to improve.
He's got two issues. One of them is motivational issues. The other one, you said, is accuracy.
Right.
Let's look at a couple of those wins last year. If those guys don't make super catches at the end of the game.
Darrell Langham.
Yeah, you know, we're done. So I think we have to either, I don't know, I would fix it. I hope someone beats him out. That's all I can say.
You're not the only one, my friend. I appreciate the call. And listen, I have also gone on record as saying, you know, I would love for the Nkosi Perry era to start as soon as possible, right? He redshirted last year. Man, I would love to get 4 years of my starting quarterback, right? Coming to his redshirt freshman season. And, you know, he looked pretty good in the spring game. He was all right. But I still think that, unfortunately, when it comes to the maturity and experience level, which is very important to Mark Richt, I think Mark Richt looks at this and says, you know what? I've got a 10 or 11 win team here with Malik Rozier as my starting quarterback. Is there a chance that we put in Perry and he ends up having a redshirt freshman year like Jameis Winston did? Yeah, there's a chance. Don't rule anything out. But the odds of that happening seem less likely to Richt. And I believe this. This is not an insider trading tip I have, but you can tell if you read in between the lines. You know, Malik Rozier way ahead of the other quarterbacks competing. That's what came out of spring. Richt went on record saying that. I think in Richt's mind, you got a really good team. Maybe not a great team, but a really good team with Malik Rozier as your starting quarterback. If you gamble and give the redshirt freshman, who seems to be behind him right now, as far as the maturity and the level on the field, if you hand the keys to the redshirt freshman, maybe the upside is higher. Maybe it's by some miracle you win 13 games. You're competing for a national championship. But the chances of losing a couple of bad games because your quarterback is making dumb plays because he's a freshman, I think that would frighten the head coach in his mind. So maybe if in fall camp, if Perry has such an overwhelming performance, or even Jaren Williams, who's a true freshman, if one of these guys steps up and just looks heads and tails better of Malik Rozier, yeah, sure, they'll start. But I think if all things are equal or close to equal, I think Richt is going to give the edge to the guy with the experience. That's just my two cents on that. It's my two cents. Let's talk to Loso. You're on QAM. What's up, Loso?
What's going on, my brother? How's everything?
Good, man. How about you?
You know, still hating Cleveland, still hating LeBron. You know how I feel about that, man.
Definitely, definitely. So do you hate Los Angeles now?
No. The thing is, man, like, I just you know, I really hate Cleveland, dude. So it's like, as long as he's gone from Cleveland, I'm okay with it. I mean, I'm still not a LeBron fan, man, but I just didn't like the fact. I just feel as though, like, the city of Cleveland didn't deserve to be on a national stage all the time.
I'm with you. And it's funny because those jackasses said the same thing about us, where Miami is a great city. Cleveland is... Cleveland has not been important since the Industrial Revolution, right? Like they have all those factories there, and that might have been fine in the 1800s, but it's 2018. That city is irrelevant. They got a bunch of factories that are no longer useful because everyone's just ordering T-shirts on Amazon now. They don't need the Cleveland factories.
Yeah, and I'm cool with that, but I have to be honest with you, man. Listen, I'm so thankful for the NBA free agency. I've never seen it. Probably like it hasn't been like that for a few years to where it's NBA free agency goes into the NFL season.
Right.
You know, usually back in the day, like 2-3 months, we're like, oh my God, there's nothing to do. But yo, it's a lot different now that you always have something to watch and always have something to talk about because of the NBA free agency. And it's like the NFL is right there. So I'm very thankful for that.
Me too, man. Believe me, for what I do for a living, we needed that.
Exactly. Hey, I got a show for you. You know, all you got to show for you.
Okay, yeah.
One day is called One Day at a Time on Netflix.
Ooh. Check it out.
Yes. Yes. Remember, back in the day, it was a sitcom, I think, like in the early 80s.
So this is something new, then? It's not the old One Day at a Time?
No, it's a new one. It's like a remake, and it's pretty funny.
Okay.
It's pretty funny, so definitely check that out for you, my brother.
Thanks, Loso.
All right, man. Always nice talking to you.
Appreciate it, man. All right. I love how, like, when I go home, you'll see my Netflix. Well, you're not coming home with me, any of you. But if you were at my house and you turned on my TV and I pull up my Netflix queue, it's full of shows that Loso has recommended for me.
What shows are they? So you can recommend them to more people.
Well, now you're putting me on the spot. I feel like Big O when Solana asked him to name...
Name five shows.
By 10 o'clock, I will name you five shows. Hal Habib from the Palm Beach Post joins me next.
Radio.com.
What is this?
Shadow of the Day by Linkin Park.
So you said that this was like a soccer-inspired music choice.
You know, I had it, and then you know what? I decided not to use it.
Wait, hold on. Wow, that is, see, everything nice I said about you in the 6 o'clock hour, I take it back.
Oh, I have to ruin it. I have to make sure nobody believes that it's actually true.
I went on this whole backhanded compliment spiel about how you're not as dumb as you look, and now I take it all back. You're as dumb as you look.
Well, I'm still as offended about that comment. I can't look that dumb.
I was giving you a compliment. Like, I spent, you know, a couple of minutes talking about how when I first got to know a young Biff, he's got this very, like, apathetic frat boy type of air to him. I thought you were dumb as a bunch of rocks, but then you proved me wrong. But it turns out, no, you were just as dumb as you look. You promised me you had some kind of the wheels were turning in your mind, a World Cup-inspired song. You asked me, hey, are you going to talk soccer this hour? I said, yeah, we'll talk a little bit with Hal at 7:20. And then you hit me with Linkin Park.
The hamster stopped turning the wheel.
Apparently so.
It took a break.
I know that's a problem for you from time to time. Young Biff, he'll be here all night. We go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved 2 blocks south of their old location. Get there now. We bring on our friend Hal Habib. Excited to talk some Dolphins, but also a little World Cup with Hal as the Cup came to a close yesterday. Hal, first and foremost, I thought that the VAR review and the call on the Perisic handball was a little bit ticky-tack. I didn't think that they needed to call that, especially in a World Cup final. Did you think that was the right call, or was that a little bit overboard?
I tended to think it was the right call. I mean, when I watched the first replay, I reached for my phone and I sent a text to a friend saying penalty kick.
Hmm.
And even after seeing it a couple more times, I thought his hand was in a place that was just an unnatural position, that dreaded phrase. And so it almost seemed like he was making himself a little bit bigger than he needed to be.
Gotcha.
And so when you do that, you know, as a defender, you run the risk of at least letting the referee have the discretion. And, you know, you never want to put yourself in that sort of position, and that's what happened. So I agree, but, you know, at the same time, one of the things, there are a lot of things I liked about this World Cup, but one of the things I really liked is, for the most part, we didn't spend nearly as much time arguing about bad calls as we normally do. And that was pretty refreshing, I thought.
Yeah, seriously. Very much so. And Hal, what do you think about the World Cup winners, France? Now, I thought that that was a team that looked just a little bit lackluster in the group stage, but they really seemed to peak and get stronger as the cup went on. And then the talent from, you know, Mbappe and Griezmann and Pogba and company just became too much for the opposition.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I don't think that this was a team that really just blew you away. You know, it's funny because most of the time, after I've seen everybody play, say, once, maybe twice tops, I usually put my finger on, you know, one team and say, that's a team to watch. And most of the time, it's a team that goes pretty far, if not wins the whole thing. And this time it was so balanced that, you know, I'm sure if you were French, you were probably thinking they were going to win the whole time. But most people were probably, you know, I think that it was probably scattered all over the place because it wasn't like any one team ran away. I mean, there were times that Belgium looked, you know, very, very strong, and, you know, they kept coming back. And Croatia, you know, was a team that nobody could really put away for the longest time. England, you know, there's so many things going on. And so, yeah, I thought France, in the end, that was the best team. I'm not going to claim by any stretch of the imagination that it's the best World Cup championship team.
Right.
I don't know if anybody would say that. But it was the best team for this tournament. And, you know, guys like Mbappe, man, what a talent that guy is. And Pogba showing his versatility in that role that they put him in. There are so many things going on. Griezmann is a great talent. So, you know, give a lot of credit to Deschamps for putting all that talent together and getting them to where they needed to be. And so, you know, that's a team that obviously will be a contender next go-round as well.
Right, and speaking of next go-around, 2022 in Qatar, which is, I mean, Qatar, we all know they don't really deserve a World Cup. They got it because of FIFA corruption, and it's so hot there, they're moving it to November and December. But at least, Hal, 2022, they're expanding to the 48 teams, so I can't imagine the USA is gonna fail to qualify when they add 16 teams to the mix. Do you think fans can say, hey, maybe the United States can bounce back and actually make some noise in that cup?
Well, you know, there's a lot of work to be done between now and then. You know, getting the managerial situation straightened out, and then from there, the developmental programs. There's so much that needs to be done. You wonder what direction the whole U.S. Federation is going in, if there is any direction. You know, we can be thankful that Pulisic is on our side.
Yes.
That's a great talent. But, I mean, Alex, look at, for example, the goalkeeping situation. I mean, even in the infancy when we started to qualify for World Cups, the one thing you could always count on is that the U.S. would be two or three deep in goalkeeping simply because of that whole hand-eye coordination thing that the Americans always had going for them. And now, I mean, you know, who's the U.S. goalkeeper?
I have no clue. I have no idea.
Well, I guess it's Guzan, but man, that, he didn't impress me at all.
No.
And you know, it's there's some, we're light years away right now, and whoever does take that job has a lot of work ahead of them. But you know, as far as the 48 team thing goes, it's almost like, don't get me started, because I think that the field was fine at the size that it has been. I don't think it should have been expanded. I think it's going to lend itself to an awful lot of boring first-round matches.
That's true. I hadn't thought of that, actually.
Yeah, and a lot of teams that really shouldn't be in there. And what happens when a team that shouldn't be in the World Cup gets in the World Cup? They park the bus, you know? They put 10 guys on defense, maybe 11, maybe 12. and that, nobody needs to see that. So, I mean, there were it was fine the way it was this year, and to think that 12 teams worse than whatever the worst team was this go round is going to be added to the mix.
Well, I mean, I don't know how they're going to redraw like the qualifying stages. I think that's important, hoping that they don't just, oh, let's add only more Middle Eastern teams and teams from the South Pacific and the Caribbean. Like, I do hope they open it up to more European teams, Hal, because I'm a fan of Italy and they had a pretty dreadful team, but they were still better than five or six of the teams from various regions who qualified for the Cup. I'm sure the case was the same for the Netherlands and maybe even for the United States. So I'm hoping that expanding the field, you are going to get not only really crappy teams, but some teams that maybe if they didn't have to come out of Europe could have a chance to qualify that are more deserving than some of these, you know, third world country teams.
That's true, although it does take a little bit of the edge off the qualifying.
Yeah, that's true.
You won't get quite the drama that we had this time around when teams were sweating it out and watching scoreboards the last round of qualifying. You know, all of that going on. I mean, the U.S. was certainly one of those teams watching the scoreboard. So there's a lot going on there. And, you know, you also have the added complication of the hell it's going to be for the European leagues when all of a sudden November rolls around 4 years from now, and it's like, okay, we got to pack up. We're all right. Going to the World Cup, and then you know, late December, January comes, and they got to start up again, and it's almost going to feel like a whole new season. It's going to be really weird.
It's funny that was my first thought. I know that you and I both root for European clubs, but I also got a lot of feedback on social media with people saying, "Well, Donna, let's also not forget that just for American viewers, that's right in the middle of NFL, college football going on, and bowl games for part of that, NHL, NBA. It's like every major American sport outside of baseball is going on at that time. So it's going to be hard to fight for American viewers as well."
It will be, and, you know, they can just be thankful that hopefully the U.S. team will be participating, because otherwise that would be an issue. I mean, just think about it from a Fox perspective. If their lineup is constant to what it is now, I mean, they're going to be going right from the World Series to the NFL, and NFL overlapping with the World Cup. There's going to be an awful lot going on for that network, and we'll see how they do. I think overall their coverage was good, but, you know, personal taste, and I know I'm not alone. I like the NBC crew better than the Fox crew as a whole.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and I miss not having guys like Martin Tyler and Ian Dark to listen to, because I think those are two of the very best at what they do.
We're joined here by Hal Habib from the Palm Beach Post. And yeah, Hal, we're 10 days away from training camp for the Miami Dolphins. How secure, Hal, do you feel that, because people always ask me about this, the brain trust, Mike Tannenbaum, Chris Greer, Adam Gase, what has to happen this coming season for all of them to stay off the hot seat?
Well, I think Gase is going to be safe almost, you can't say no matter what, but pretty close. Because Philbin Steve Russ gave Philbin a pretty long leash, and I think most people see a lot more potential in Adam Gase, infinitely more potential in Adam Gase than they did at Philbin at this point. So I think he's okay. I don't see anybody picking on him as far as his security. Tannenbaum is the one who's really on the hot seat because, you know, he's the one who made a lot of moves, and, you know, are they going to pan out? He gave contracts to some guys, didn't give contracts to others, and you all know who they are. And, you know, it's a matter of did he make the right moves or not? And, you know, we'll see how Landry does in Cleveland and whether that was the right thing to do. The Sue contract, you know, I said from the start that was money that they really didn't have to spend, and they put an awful lot in a position that doesn't tend to decide games the way other positions that, you know, deserve that kind of money. I would say that out of the three, I think Tannenbaum is the one who is most on the hot seat, really.
And, you know, you mentioned Jarvis Landry, and obviously you've lost a guy who accounted for 112 catches last year, over 100 catches routinely. Now, on paper, I think it's very possible that you could make up his volume by committee. I'm just wondering how optimistic should Dolphin fans be about that committee when you include some of the newcomers like Albert Wilson and Danny Amendola. I'm very uncertain as to just how much Mike Gesicki can add as a rookie at tight end, but fans have through-the-roof optimism on this guy. You know, Kenny Stills, will he get more catches this year? Does Devontae Parker show up? How much faith should Dolphin fans have that you can make up for Landry's production with a committee of receivers and tight ends?
Well, as a whole, I would say that I like their receiving core. But it is going to be a challenge, and it's going to be a question on everybody's mind all year, like it or not. Gesicki is, as you said, he's a huge part of that. He's a talent that they have lacked for a long time. And if he can open things up, it's going to help the guys on the outside tremendously. But the wild card in this, I'm sorry to say, is Devontae Parker. Can the guy stay healthy, and can he produce at the level that people think he ought to be producing? It hasn't happened yet. It could happen now, but he's such an important part of where this receiving core is going. I think we all know what they have in Kenny Stills, and I'm confident that he'll be Kenny Stills. And so that's why a lot does fall on Parker's lap. Amendola is a guy who has produced for years, getting up there in age, yeah, but I think we all know what he can do. Albert Wilson is a guy who's coming up, and we'll see what his ceiling is. And then there's also Jakeem Grant, and yes. What can he offer from scrimmage?
Yeah, with Jakeem Grant, Hal, I think he could be one of the biggest X factors on this offense, because if he can contribute the way I think athletically he's capable of, that guy adds another gear and another dimension to this offense.
Yeah, he does. And, I like the fact that even at his size, he's got, you know, some muscle behind him. He's not just a tiny, fast guy. He's fairly strong for his size, and that's going to help him in the long run, no doubt. And he won't be the first receiver who took a little bit of time to develop and then became a real threat. I think, you know, when you look at some of the speed they have on the outside, and he's certainly a big part of it, as is Stills, that's something that secondaries are going to have to respect.
Well, I know that as I am, you're looking forward to training camp coming up, and maybe we're not looking forward to our summers essentially coming to an end, Hal, but I can't wait to see you out there.
Yeah, the summer coming to an end is the sad part, but, you know, we all had a lot of fun, those of us who follow soccer.
Sure.
It's been a great month. In depression that it's over, but we do have American football to look forward to.
Well, and also, Hal, let's not forget we got some big friendlies coming up, like International Champions Cup. A couple days ago, I was watching the web feed of Inter Milan's first preseason game. So there is soccer out there to be found.
There is, and a little bit of something for everybody. So, it'll be good to be out there again and see what this team can do and whether they can be correct in saying that they're going to be able to surprise people and be better than what Vegas thinks they're going to be.
I sure hope so. Hal Habib from the Palm Beach Post covers the Miami Dolphins. Follow him on Twitter at Gunner Hal and check out his work, Palm Beach Post and palmbeachpost.com. Hal, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your week coming up.
Take care, Alex.
Great stuff as always here from Hal. And I'm glad that that he kind of brought up things to watch, things to look forward to with the World Cup done. I do want to do a top three list when we come back, right? Now that the World Cup is over, Dolphins training camp is still 10 days away. what the heck do we watch sports-wise between yesterday and training camp? I'll give you my top three next year on QAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
By the way, got a text message I really like, and I wanted to comment on this about Terrell Owens, but really more about the Hall of Fame. 56022 is how you get at us on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Snot-nosed, hateful Hall of Fame voters got drunk with power. They thought they had to say bleep you, T.O., by making him wait until the third ballot, thinking he would be powerless to say bleep you back. Not. You know, honestly, I have less of a problem with the third ballot thing. Honestly, I think first, second, third ballot, it's a tad overrated. Because you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer, right? Like, honestly, like how many of you can go through year after year who got inducted, whether it was their first ballot, second ballot, third ballot? I understand that in the moment, right? Like at the time you get voted in, first ballot, at that point in time, that snapshot in history, first ballot feels more important. I'm a first ballot Hall of Famer, but I'm here to tell you 3, 4, 5 years, 10 years down the road, nobody cares whether you're a first ballot guy or a fifth year ballot guy. Being a Hall of Famer, that's what matters. Now, was it a little bit spiteful of the Hall of Fame to keep him out for personal reasons for a couple of years? Yeah, but they're also entitled to do so because there's no set criteria for what makes a Hall of Famer a Hall of Famer. Was it then incredibly spiteful for T.O. after getting voted in? Not like 20 years. It didn't take him 20 years. It took him 3 years when he gets voted in. Spiteful for him to be the first player in history to say, you know what, I'm not showing up. Yeah, that was spiteful. But let me say this. The Hall of Fame, to me, had a chance to take the high road. And they screwed it up. Right? After all this, for the last couple of weeks, for the last few weeks, with Terrell Owens saying, you know what, I'm going to hold my own party. I'm not going to Canton. I'm not taking a part in the festivity. That was a bad look for T.O. And everybody, for the most part, not everybody, but the majority of talking heads on TV and radio have been criticizing T.O. You should enjoy this moment. Forget about the spite. Just show up. You'll love it. You're a Hall of Famer. Embrace it. The Hall of Fame had a chance here to take the high road. But now, the spiteful, petty Hall of Fame says, no, you know what? T.O. doesn't want to be here. We're going to pretend he doesn't exist. We're not going to acknowledge him. You realize you clowns are doing the same thing that you kept T.O. out of the Hall of Fame for in the first place. You're acting like fools. I thought that was the same reason why you decided we need to penalize this guy, not let him in until the third ballot. And now you had a chance to be bigger than that, right? Okay, it's unprecedented. T.O. says, I'm not going to show up to the ceremony. You could have really taken the high road and been bigger than T.O. here by giving him his video, acknowledging him. In fact, that's going to make him look worse for not showing up. If you give the man his due, because he is a Hall of Famer, it's not like you're taking him out of the Hall of Fame. You're just going to pretend on the night of the ceremony that he doesn't exist. You had a chance to be bigger and look better than T.O. Instead, you stooped to his level, right? I think it's ridiculous. The Hall of Fame had a chance to look like heroes here. Well, T.O. doesn't want to show up. We're still going to give him his tribute video. We're still going to acknowledge him in the ceremony. They could have taken the high road. Instead, they screwed all that up, Biff.
Well, Dono, have you ever heard the saying, if you can't beat him, join him? They joined him. They can't beat him. They can't get him to go. So they joined him in getting rid of him.
Let me tell you what saying I have heard of. Two wrongs don't make a right. How about that? I think what
But you can't kill a bird with two birds, one stone.
I mean, listen, T.O., I believe, did the wrong thing, has made the wrong decision by not showing up to the ceremony. Incredibly spiteful. Just because he didn't get in the year he wanted to get in. But then the Hall of Fame, they said, hold my beer. I'm going to come out and top this guy. I mean, it's a clown show, this entire thing. And you know what? I feel more sympathetic to T.O. now that I see that these Hall of Fame voters in the Hall of Fame committee are bigger clowns than I even thought they were. So I now have sympathy for T.O. I didn't even think I had. Let's talk to James. You're on QAM. What's up, James?
Hey, big. How's it going, Dono?
Everything's going good, man. I heard you almost called me Big O there. What's going on?
I usually call on that time frame. So
all good.
A little later for me. Yeah. Absolutely opposite, that's for sure. just wanted to let you know, Tannehill is on the cover of Pro Football this week.
He is?
He is. I just saw it in Publix. I almost, like,
wow.
like my jaw dropped, and I had to send it to one of my buddies here.
Now I'm going to have to look this up, or maybe you already know the answer to this. Is that like a regional cover, or is that the cover that the entire country is getting?
No, it's national because
wow.
every team is on it, and I was surprised, you know, because I saw some of the other magazines, and they had it's a Pro Football Nathlon Sports, it says, and it has all the teams' previews, you know, it's like that one that national magazine that they put out every
sure,
year.
Sure, yeah, huge. And I am going to get a copy of that at some point this week because for me that's must read this time of year every year.
Yeah, it's great, especially if you're into fantasy football like I am, and I know most people are. The other thing I was going to say is just on the topic you were talking about, the receiving corps, I do believe, and I think it's the obvious, that the drama of Tannehill, of the Dolphins this year, is Tannehill. As he goes, I think this is Gase is rolling the dice, you know, the whole season, really, I think, on Tannehill. And so it either is going to pay out and it's going to be looking like a genius, or I think then, you know, people are going to have to evaluate him.
Mm-hmm.
That's my own given, but I am excited because I think there's no excuse. He has all the weapons, and I think Amendola, despite all the drama with Landry leaving and everything, and I liked him a lot personally, but I think Amendola is a step up from a position style receiver that I think
right.
we needed. And,
right.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, I think of it this way with Landry, right? I mean, you are with the kind of money you would have had to pay him to keep him here, $15, $16 million, whatever it was. It's like you can try and, you know, that's 112 catches you're losing from last year. I think you have to think of it as you're not making up those catches with one player. You're hoping that Amendola picks up 30 of those, that Albert Wilson picks up 35 of those. You're also going to get more catches out of your backfield, I would imagine, more catches from your tight ends because Julius Thomas was a disaster last year. I mean, I unfortunately like Jarvis Landry, but I don't think that for the money that you are going to have to pay him to keep him here, I don't think he's irreplaceable. I think he can be replaced by committee, and that's why it's such an important year for Tannehill because he's got to spread the football around.
But that is Gase's offense.
In theory, Gase's offense is you're throwing to your backs, you're throwing to your tight ends, you're spreading it to your receivers. I think the question is, can that offense run it? Is Tannehill and that receiving core good enough to execute it? I think they can be.
One last thing about the T.O. thing. I really had no interest in watching the Hall of Fame until this whole controversy.
Yeah,
so
me too.
I think now I'm actually interested to see how it all plays out. So maybe he did a favor indirectly, the Hall of Fame.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you take the Hall of Fame at their word, you're not going to see anything T.O. when you watch that ceremony. They will act like he doesn't exist that night.
Yeah, but, you know, other players will say something. So I'm sure there's going to be some, you know, there'll be some activity regarding T.O. And just for that, I think that's worth the – you know, I don't know. It just it's getting my curiosity. Where, to be honest, I wouldn't even bother to like even think of recording the Hall of Fame.
Right, you're right. Because I only go through the time to really sit and watch it when one of my guys is going in. Like I watched Jason Taylor last year. I actually drove to Ohio in 2005 to watch Dan Marino go in person. Like I really only care. I'm the same way with the Heisman ceremony. Like I love to see who wins the Heisman. I keep up with the voting. But I don't actually care to sit and watch the ceremony unless it's one of my guys who's up for it.
I agreed. And or unless it's, you know, one of these iconic guys, a Pete Rose type of guy, or think one of the NFL greats as well. And I did actually, I thought, to their credit, I thought they did a great job the last couple of years, and that they had very emotional Hall of Fame. When I saw the tape, I couldn't see it live for some reason. And I thought it was, they did an excellent job, you know, with the families and things like that. And they handled it really pretty decently the last couple of years. So I'm kind of surprised this has become such an issue where it really shouldn't become an issue. Like you said, I think you're spot on. They should have just done their little video and go on with it.
Right.
But now it's piquing my interest. Where otherwise, so maybe that's the only.
So if that's their plan, it's working. That's for sure.
Yeah, but I am very optimistic about that, and also I think the separate thing is, do you have, just my question? Do you have any information at all regarding this on the Miami Heat with the? I'm sorry, now I lost his name. I'm not thinking LeBron, but in San Antonio of
Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard. Is there any news?
I don't think he's coming here. I saw a couple days ago, I saw the updated Las Vegas odds of where he's gonna play this year, and they don't even have the Heat on the board anymore. I think we can kiss that goodbye, because from what I understand, this is what I was reading last week. And maybe some Heat fans love this, maybe some don't, but Pat Riley has basically been telling teams that Josh Richardson and Justice Winslow are untradeable. They're not up for discussion, and you're going to have to trade one or both of those guys to get Kawhi Leonard, so it's not going to happen.
Yeah, okay. That's right. Yeah, I heard he wants to be a Laker, and I don't know how that's going to happen, but
yeah,
that's all I've heard.
All right, okay. Man, I appreciate the call. Right. I had also heard he doesn't want to be a Laker. there are two. It depends on who you believe, right? Some reports would tell you, Kawhi Leonard, he wants to be a Laker. Other reports tell you, no, he'd rather be a Clipper because he wants to be in L.A., but he doesn't actually want to play with LeBron James. By the way, Texter writes in, this kind of bothers me as well. It's a little thing. I don't spend too much time thinking about this, but Texter writes in at 56022 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. I hate when people call him Tannehill. It's Tannehill. I'm with you on that, right? The man's name is Tannehill, not Tannehill. Look, it sounds like you're in second grade when you say it, Tannehill.
Hi, Ryan Tannehill.
I want to smack you when you say it like that. I mean, I know you're not really doing it, so I won't smack you.
Why would you smack you for saying Tannehill?
Because it bothers me. I don't know. I think Big O says Tannehill.
Say it with some respect, son. That's what you got
to
tell
me. The man's name is Tannehill. How hard is that? How hard is it to move your mouth like this? Tannehill. It's not Tannehill. There's no Y in there.
Well, if you move it like that, you have to change like the way you're talking. Because if I'm going like this and all of a sudden I got to go Tannehill, that's hard.
WNBC. I still have to give you my top three sporting events to watch between the World Cup and training camp. We'll have that plus more of your calls next year on QAM. Radio.com.
Radio.com. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.